even though it might be the last thing that you might expect from someone who loves hockey, NASCAR, and fishing, like I do, I also, from time to time, will watch the Antiques Roadshow. We might be familiar with it. It's that show that people bring in their antiques and then appraisers offer their opinions about its value. Of course, one of the critical pieces of information in determining this is discerning whether, for example, a painting or a sculpture that claims to be the creation of a famous artist is in fact authentic. So, a person may have a piece of art that they claim was painted by Picasso, but how can we really know for sure? Well, we compare that painting to what we know of his other works. We compare it to his style. We look for details that mark it as belonging to him, as being an original, as being his design. You could say that this is kind of how Jesus answers the question that the Pharisees use to try to test him and to trap him, right? So they ask him whether it is lawful for a man to divorce his wife. And in doing so, they ask a question really about the nature and the definition of marriage itself. And so, as Jesus often does, he replies with a question. What did Moses say? The Pharisees then tell Jesus, Moses permitted divorce. And then Jesus challenges them to consider not just what is permitted, but whether what is permitted was in fact authentic to God's original design for marriage. Is this practice an authentic work of the designer and creator of marriage? And Jesus tells them, it's not. God may have tolerated it for a time, but it's not what he intended marriage to be when he created it. In creating human marriage, God intended it to reflect and to mirror the ultimate marriage between him and his people, between Jesus and his bride, the church. And so then Jesus reminds the Pharisees of that original design of human marriage as created by God, and which therefore applies to all humanity, and that it must image this divine marriage in its definition and its design. So God tells them, you got to look back to the beginning, right? To that reading that we heard from the book of Genesis, which tells us that God very intentionally creates human beings to complement one another, to help one another, to be partners for one another. And that's spiritually, psychologically, and physically. This is shown by his creating humanity, male and female. He created the two biological sexes for each other. And in doing that, he also creates the covenantal relationship of marriage, through which a man and a woman, by a free act of their will, exchange vows with one another in order to create between them an indissoluble and unbreakable bond that is so complete and so total that the two actually become one flesh. And therefore, what God has joined, and notice, Jesus says that it is God who joins man and woman together in marriage. What God has joined, no one can separate. So you could say marriage is a work of art, designed and intentionally created by the divine artist, God himself, which means that the original design of marriage then applies to all humanity, since God is the creator of all, whether an individual person believes in God or not. It also means that marriage is good, since, of course, God himself is goodness itself, and God made marriage, right? However, of course, we know this does not mean that every specific instance of marriage will be experienced as good or wholesome or beautiful. That certainly is the hope, and the original intent of the divine author. But we all know that our fallen human nature often attempts to interfere with God's plan. And when that happens, the result is real suffering and pain, which can be very, very devastating for people to experience. The fact that the divorce rate currently stands at 50% or so in our society, it's not just a statistic. It's a reality for real people, many of whom we may know, might be even ourselves. And the pain of a broken marriage is felt deeply by many. Of course, the spouses, children, relatives, friends. And in the face of this real pain that many experience, the world and the culture tries to resolve it by telling people to just simply change the design. So, to get married again and again and again if necessary, or to loosen your understanding of marriage and make it more fluid, to kind of create marriage in your own image, according to your plans, your feelings, your wants, and desires. So, it's this type of rationale that leads to new ways of trying to define marriage. So we hear, for example, as I have recently, news stories of cities in our country that will now legally recognize a marriage bond as existing between 3 or 4 or 5 or as many as you want people, not just 2. And we as Catholics continue to often be shamed by society for not recognizing or supporting attempts at marriage between 2 people of the same sex. Sometimes people even enter into marriage thinking that, well, if this doesn't work out, we can just get divorced. I'm not sure that there's been a time in history when there has been so much genuine confusion about the true nature of marriage, or when the original family structure of husband, wife, children is so often attacked or made to feel outdated or old-fashioned. And yet I think the question remains in our hearts of what is marriage, right? Is this idea, or is that philosophy, or is this concept of marriage an authentic one, a true one? Well, the Lord gives us a way to do that, to figure that out. He shows us the way to determine is to look at the original design and intent of the author of the masterpiece of human marriage. So the fact is that we are creatures, right, of a creator. We are not self-made as much as our culture likes to tell us that we are. Rather, we have been made by another. So we are not free then to define life or truth or even marriage for ourselves. Rather, we are to receive what we have been given and live according to how we have been made. Marriage was created by God as an indissoluble covenantal partnership between one man and one woman for the purpose of their physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual good, and for the procreation and education of children as well. So for this reason, our faith cannot accept as authentic marriage anything that doesn't demonstrate or mirror this original design of God. So, for example, that is why our faith teaches that one cannot validly remarry after divorce without first obtaining a declaration of nullity of that previous marriage. And remember, an annulment is not just the Catholic form of divorce. It's a formal declaration by the Church that a true and valid marriage never actually existed in the first place. I wrote extensively about the annulment process and details about it in a series of bulletin articles you might recall this past July and August, and if you're interested, you can find them on the parish website. Similarly, our faith teaches that an authentic marriage cannot exist between 2 people of the same sex because, again, such is not in accordance with God's original design for marriage. So, what then does the Church say? What does the Church say to those who are divorced and remarried? or to those who might feel same-sex attractions, or to those who just struggle with the church's teaching in these areas. She says, like she says to all God's children, do not be afraid. You are loved. You are cherished. You are dear to God's heart. And we love you. And yet, we do not accept the culture's demand that to love someone means that you must also support and embrace their decisions in life. No, we love while still holding to what God has revealed in Christ. And the Lord is clear in his words in today's gospel. Marriage has a real and specific definition. But we also recognize that life is messy sometimes, and that the ideal can often feel out of reach. And so, if you find yourself struggling with our faith's teaching about the definition or the requirements of marriage, or if you find yourself struggling to reconcile your own marital situation with the teaching of the church, please know, first and foremost, that as your pastor, I love you. And the church loves you. And most importantly, God loves you. And he is with you. I am always ready and willing to talk with anyone about how we can follow Christ more closely and more completely in our lives. So my encouragement is, let's talk. Because as a church, we are a family. And family helps to mend what is broken. Family supports us when we fall. And family loves right through the pain into a place of healing and peace.